We are talking about spiritual gifts. Can you put that up for me, Grace? I got a PowerPoint there. And so we're talking about spiritual gifts and are approaching this topic. We looked at it last week. We're going to look at it some this morning. Our time, we maybe have 25 minutes, and then we're going to look at it next week. And next week, what we hope to do actually to start Sunday school is to have a report, an update from Ron Olchin, Ron and Sherry. They've been on mission in Ethiopia and India, and so our desire to have them give a bit of a report. So my time is kind of spread out in the midst of all of that. And we started talking last week, and we, first of all, let me review. We took a questionnaire, and 55 people turned in a survey. It was just very encouraging. And 30 wanted to take the spiritual gifts questionnaire. And so there are 40 of them up here. And so if it's your desire to take this, it should be self-explanatory. But if it's not and you find yourself stuck, give me a call. And I'll walk you through it. This is not guaranteed to help you find your spiritual gift. Although I will say this, I went online. And you can take these questionnaires online. They're free. At least the one I took was. And it really nailed it for me. Surprisingly, this is not a word from the Lord when you do this, but our desire is to gain understanding, hey, what are my spiritual gifts, because I want to use them, and so this will help you kind of learn that. So they're up here, come up and grab one. Two most common questions that were asked, what is the difference between talents and spiritual gifts? And then the second one was, how do I use them to the best of my ability? And so we'll probably talk about those things next week. So that's review. Just review quickly the terms used. Charismata sounds like what? Charismatic. And that is indeed what the movement, the charismatic movement comes from this term, which basically means a graciously given gift. And the pneumatakos simply means spiritual. So they're talking about spiritual or spiritual gifts, spiritual things. We gave the list, and Mary Lou Brinson was able to tell me how many different spiritual gifts are listed. How many are up there? 20. All right, look at that, because I'm going to have somebody try to list about 10 of them for a Chick-fil-A card. We'll get that here. Let's move on. What are they? They're special abilities graciously given by the Spirit for the common good. That is the building up of the body of Christ. And I always like to talk of them as tools. They are tools that each and every one of us has been given to serve in the church, to see it become all that God would have it be. So how exciting. You get to play a role in this church in seeing it become all that God would have it become. Here's our toolbox, and here's a Chick-fil-A. I'm going to give somebody an opportunity to win a Chick-fil-A card. Ethan, would you like to try to do that? Or Nathan? It's Nathan. Nathan right there. Would you like to try to win a Chick-fil-A card? All right, your time's up. Ethan, would you like to try to win a Chick-fil-A card?
I suppose so.
That's not good enough. I'm going to somebody else. Andy, you want to try to win one? Boy, I'll tell you what, you got to speak up or you get left in the way, don't you? All right, come on up, Andy.
Oh, boy.
Now everybody's feeling sorry for Ethan and Nathan, aren't you? We'll do something for you afterwards. I'll give you a hug. All right, turn around. You cannot look. I want you to name 10 spiritual gifts. There are 20. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity here. If you name 10, I'm going to give you a $25 gift card, a Chick-fil-A gift card. If you think, I don't know that I can do it, I will let you get your wife up here and I'll give you each a $10 gift card. What is your choice? No, it's not going to help. Quick, I have to sit. You on her?
How many am I supposed to do?
10. All right, here goes. You cannot look back. You cannot look back. Let's go back to that list. You are starting now, and you have, Michael, 90 seconds. We're not going
to
drag this out. Go ahead.
I have time to pray first.
And Jeff, you're counting. All right, if you get us to 10.
Encouragement, serving, prophecy, languages. Oh boy.
You got this. You got this. Knowledge, I think, is that one of them. Did you say knowledge?
No, I said teaching. Sacrifice, Healing?
No.
Healing was what?
Miracles. All right, we'll give you that. So you got six. No. Michael, how much time's left?
Jesus.
59 seconds.
Oh, he's got 59 seconds still?
How many have I done?
We're giving you 30 more seconds. You've done six or seven. Are you serious? You can do it.
Have mercy on him, Pastor.
Mercy.
We're a jackass.
They're encouraging you a lot.
I don't know. Jeff is keeping track. How many does he have? Seven.
Oh, man.
Discern well.
Prayer? Praying?
No. Not up there.
Discern well.
Discernment.
And boy,
being,
they're helping.
Being well.
That's not one. How many's helped you? Eight?
Keep the faith.
Huh? Yeah, sit down. Here's a $25 gift. You need to work on that, Andy. I would take them all out to Chick-fil-A. We said it's so important for us to be praying. And so everybody who was here last week got a tool on a keychain as a reminder to be praying for us in this class and this whole dynamic. And so, Eddie, I don't think your family got them, but would you give one to each of your family? And then if anybody else needs one, Eddie, you're going to go ahead and pass those out if you would. Wow, I am really moving things along quickly, aren't I? All right, let's continue our review. Why this should be important to us. We talked about that for a while. Who do you think you are? God's gift to the church. Yes, yes, you are. Why they're important? Stewardship. You're a steward of the gift that God has given you. And stewardship speaks of opportunity, but also accountability. And boy, I just want that to resonate in our thinking that you've been given tools by God to serve the body, and He will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? I'm absolutely convinced of that. It's not like, well, I got a pass on this one. What did you do as a steward with what He gave you? Growth. I was talking with somebody, I believe, yesterday. I'm really for you asking you to use your gift, because when you use your gift, you grow. It's not like Pastor Joe's just got to get somebody to serve, or the leadership just had to get somebody to serve. I'm your best friend getting you to serve in the church. I believe that. Because when you serve, you grow. And so I will tirelessly ask you to be involved. Others are depending on you. We're a team. Football started yesterday. Michael, did your team at Arkansas, did they play? They win?
They beat Cincinnati. First time they played a ranked team since like 75 as an opener, and they won.
So, well, very good. Yeah, very good. Michael coaches. We could ask Michael about this. Others are dependent upon you. He's got a line. He's got offensive backs, defensive backs, a quarterback. And if you're missing an offensive guard, the whole team is going to, you know, they're probably not going to even have a winning season. They're probably going to win a game, right? So others are depending on you as a member of this team to understand others' motivations. Boy, when we understand others' gifts, we understand what drives them. Jack loves God's word. Now, everybody here should love God's word. But Jack, with his gift of teaching, it's on steroids, isn't it?
Yes.
Come on, it really is. And his drive to study it. Or James Marshall back there, his gift is service. Amen. Jay comes up to me all the time. You know what he says? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? And some of you, there's so much going on that we could use your help, and you just kind of, you got your hands in. I'm insulting you, aren't I? But we all don't. We don't have that gifting. Jay sees that stuff, and others here see that stuff, and others are just kind of like, I'm not saying that it's faulty. We're all in process, aren't we? But this idea to understand others' motivations. Why is this important to me? Because it's my job. I mean, and I don't want to say job in the sense you pay me to do it, so that's why I do it. But in Ephesians, it says that my role and the role of the elders here is to equip you to use your gifts to serve. And Kelly, she gave me a hat a few years back. I hate to put on hats because when I put them on, my hair goes all goofy. Anybody else like that? Charlie, you're... So it's like this, but Coach Glupker. You know, I'm a coach and want to encourage you to use your gifts and to help you understand maybe where you can use them or to help equip you to use them. So I want to see you blossom and then the glory of the church in the world today. And that's your heart, isn't it? You want to see Christ glorified. And Christ is glorified when we serve and this church more fully reflects who he is. And people see it. People see it. Talking about Jenny and her life. You know how many people she's impacted? People watch. They watch individuals, and then they watch a church collectively, how we respond. We got a guy from the Citadel coming in here, so we need to all be on our best behavior. Why don't believers use their spiritual gifts? All kinds of reasons. Though they don't know it, not equipped, not encouraged, busy, selfish, fear. I think fear was the big idea we talked about last week. Jay, would you see how they're doing back there? Fear. Well, we do. We have fear when it may be asked to do something. Maybe see something in your life and they're trying to encourage you to an involvement. It's kind of like, I don't know. I've never done it before. You know? And it's kind of like, oh, that's neat. Stretch. Risk. Step out. All right. Let's dig into Scripture a little bit. And that's what we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so doing. And then I want to interview a few people and get their input on things. And Jack White, I'm probably going to put you on the spot and interview a little bit. And I need a lady that I'm going to speak to. I'm going to speak to my wife. How's that? She's back and we'll put her on the spot. Is that good? Is that good?
Yes.
Maybe bad. Who knows what's going to happen? All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. You know, there are so many passages in Scripture that speak about gifts. It's not like this is just a minor topic. There are four passages. If anybody can tell, no, Isaac, you work at Chick-fil-A, so I'm not even going to give you a card. $10 gift card, four passages. You got 15 seconds to tell me the four passages. Isaac, you got it? Huh? No? All right, four passages. Jeff, you got them? All right, one more. I'll try one more. Everybody's kind of don't pick. Michael, come on. Four passages in the New Testament that speak on gifts.
Romans 8, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 11 and 12, 13 around there.
Yep.
And then James.
1 Peter. All right, I'll give that to you. You got a friend who loves you, helped you out. There you go. God, it pays to pay attention in this class, doesn't it? So there are four passages, and the point I'm simply making is that spiritual gifts aren't some side dynamic. They are central to so much of what the New Testament teaches. And the challenge in this passage is the church in Corinth had all kinds of problems. And one of them was in this area of spiritual gifts. And what was happening is that one gift in particular was being promoted. My last gift card. I'm giving these away too freely. One gift was being promoted above all the others. Ricky, do you know it? All right, you can tag to Colin. Colin, do you know it? All right, one gift in 1 Corinthians. All right, Victoria? Huh? The gift of tongues. Would you give that over to her? The gift of tongues. And basically they said if you're a spiritual person, you'll speak in tongues. Now that should sound a little bit like the Pentecostal movement today. All right? Because that's, as it started, what they said was that if you were baptized in the Spirit, you will speak in tongues. That is the evidence of that. So it's highly promoted in the Pentecostal movement. It's all been tempered as they went into the charismatic movement. Things in that whole area have softened a lot.
Yeah.
But still, they're promoting tongues. And so Paul has to write into that and somehow corral it, somehow deal with it. And so this is 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll read these passages, and I'm just going to make a few comments. My intent is not to dig into all the details, but to give you a flyover so you understand what is Paul emphasizing? What are the big points he's giving us? And so in chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, he says, even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And so he's simply drawing an analogy from your body. You have one body, and it has a lot of different parts. And so it is with the church. It's one body, and it has a lot of different parts. And in verse 13, he tells us how the body is formed. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. And so it is by the one Spirit that has taken up residence in your life that you are a member of the body of Christ. Spirit baptism, which we all experience at salvation, makes you a member of the body of Christ. And so you're part of this one body. We could think maybe universally, but locally. And you have a special part in it. That's the idea. One body, many parts. So then Paul goes on to talk to those who say, I'm not needed. I really don't. If I use my gift or not, it really doesn't matter. I'm not needed. Maybe in a sense having a little bit of a pity party. Yeah, I don't think I really matter that much. I'm not that important. And so notice what Paul says. The body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And so Paul's point is, everybody's needed. The one who says, I'm not needed, Paul is saying you are. And he gives two big reasons. Each one has been uniquely placed in the body of Christ by God's design. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. I would hope that if you're at Charleston Bible Church, and obviously you are, and you consider yourself not an official member, you just regularly attend here, I would want you to have a sense that God has you here for a reason. Amen. What do you think? It's not just by chance you're here, because then you might say, well, I guess it doesn't matter where you go to church, if it's by chance. But if there's this realization, God has me at Charleston Bible Church, and he's made it clear to me that this is my church family, then you should have that sense that you are uniquely placed here by Christ, and you have a special role to play in this body. You're gold. John Maxwell used to talk about there's gold in them, their pews. And his emphasis was, you are the treasure in many ways of this church. Obviously, Christ is the head, but each and every one of you, I would want you to have a sense, you know, I'm here, and God has a place for me. Christ has placed me at this church. And then the second reason, if the whole body were all one part, it couldn't function. It'd be a monstrosity. He says, if all were one member, where would the body be? And so if everybody, how would you like to be at a church? Oh, let's pick some gift. I don't know what gift to pick. Service. If everybody had the gift of service. I mean, in a sense, it would be pretty cool for a little bit. But then it would be the fact, well, we're not getting any teaching. And we're not doing any evangelism. But our nursery's clean, and we're sure taking care of those kids. Right? But nobody's teaching my kids. You can see what happened if everybody had the same gift and thought that was important. And the beauty of this church is there's so many different gifts and this diversity that we have a unique role, and we want that. We want to appreciate different gifts. Now, it can rub on us, because if Jack has the gift of teaching and he's always emphasizing Word of God, Word of God, Word of God, and you may have more of an evangelistic, prophetic, you may say, Jack, would you just get off of this idea we got to teach everybody and get out there and do some evangelism? Don't you care? We don't want to end up there. But to appreciate and say, boy, I need to encourage Jack, and Jack needs to encourage the one with the gift of evangelism. And we encourage one another. We build one another up to use our gifts. So the point is, and I'm wanting us to dig into Scripture to see where this is founded, is that you're needed. Each and every one here is needed. And then there are those, there were those in the body in Corinth who said, I don't need you. Kind of this independent idea. It's like, hey, I can do with you or without you. And Paul addresses that. He says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there'd be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members are rejoice with it. And so to the person that says, I don't need you, Paul says, you do need others. And God has assigned greater honor to those parts that lacked it. Some of the parts that we think just aren't that important, because what happens is we have Tim up and he leads worship, and it's like, boy, Tim really is important. And he is. And we have somebody, maybe, say myself, preaching. He's got Pastor Joe, he's got an important role. And my role isn't important. But the truth is, we need others. If we don't have nursery care, and a mom and a dad come into nursery, and it's poorly organized and their child's not cared for, they're gone. I'm telling you, they're not going to stay at this church. And so Anita, who administers all this behind the scenes, we may not see that, but I'm telling you, Anita is really important. And I realize that I need her, and we should realize we need her working behind the scenes. And actually, many, if not the most of the people here, are going to work behind the scenes with their gift of service, maintaining facilities, or doing evangelism, or serving somebody who needs help. But those behind-the-scenes gifts. I like Peterson in The Message. He says this, can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you? Our head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. Now, look, he brings us alive. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, high or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. I like this concluding statement. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? I like that. It's kind of like, you know, you begin to put value on things, and the things that don't seem all that important, you realize, you know, I'd rather have good digestion than a head of hair. I hope that I don't want to choose. Have to choose. I want both. But ultimately, the stomach wins, doesn't it?
Yeah. Man with the hair.
Yeah. All right, our time's going to be up here, so I'm going to pass over. We'll talk next week about prophecy in tongues. That's a lot of controversy. That's chapter 4, and that's where he goes and ultimately has to deal more sternly with things. But I want to do an interview because we're wanting to engage people. So I asked Diana and Jack, I volunteered them, would you guys just come up? And this obviously is not practice, but we want their input. Jack, come on up. Come on up here. And Diana, and they can hear you. How did you discover your gifts, and what are your biggest challenges in using your gifts? And Jack, I'm going to put you on the spot, because this has been a question that's been raised, and I you've thought it through, I'm almost certain, the difference between gifts and talents. You can think about that, and we'll let Diana answer. Diana, how did you discover your gifts, and what are your biggest challenges in using them? So how did you discover your gifts? Because that's what we're wanting to know. How does somebody discover their gifts?
First of all, I guess through prayer.
And would you tell us what your gifts are?
You would say it would be hospitality.
I would, definitely.
Sure.
How many else would say her gift is hospitality? Look at there. What an affirmation.
I thoroughly enjoy giving.
Okay.
I really do. So that has been those areas that I enjoy that come comfortable for me in a way, if that's a good word to use.
Okay.
But I really feel like they should be bathed with prayer if you want to use them within the church.
Okay.
But that would be funny. Because a strength can become a weakness.
Yes.
If you don't focus, if you focus too hard on that, you know.
Yep.
And you've got to grant graciousness to all the gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Just an example of my home life, my sister, it is not easy for her to have people in at home. And so that sometimes I can be a little tension between the two of us. And we just, I need to be gracious to her and realize, but I also don't want to overpower her either, so that she would feel.
Okay. So being gracious to others and their gifting. Now, I heard you mention giving. And we talked about hospitality. Now, you do a lot of teaching.
Yeah.
But that you, it almost sounded like you come alive with those things.
Yeah.
Is that how you would say you discovered your gift?
Yeah. It's, and the Lord will bring affirmation. I really feel like over the years, the Lord brings affirmation. And your availability, it is, you hear me use the word lately, a lot of privilege. It is a privilege to be able to use that gift of us for His honor.
Okay.
And He will bring about those opportunities.
Okay.
As you are the Holy Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I'm kind of tearing up here, I guess, because I realize how good I got it with this guy. She's going to want to go and sit down. Jack, we can ask those questions, but do you have any thoughts for us on talents and spiritual gifts? Because that was the number one question asked.
Well, from the moment that you said something about me, I wrote down a sermon here.
All right, our time's up.
When I was getting baptized here at the church, I forgot John 3:16. Not too long after that, in giving my testimony to join the church, Pastor Stelling stood up, made me sit down, and said, "Brother, we're convinced," because he wanted to preach the sermon that Sunday.
Yeah.
but I guess they saw something in me that I didn't see. Pastor Stelling put me in a Sunday school class over here with Renee Haar early on, and Laddie Weeders had me teaching a flannel graph lesson in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I just know that when I started doing those things, the river just flowed.
Okay.
And the longer I did it, the more I loved it, and then God called me to teaching.
So people encouraged you. You stepped in and found that, hey, this is my love.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, we all know Jack is a master teacher. He's taught at Charleston Christian School for 40 years. All right. And so you've had that. Somebody could say, well, that's a talent because there are other people who teach. And then you have the spiritual gift of teaching. What would you say? Is there some way how do those overlap? Or
I think when God creates us in the womb, He gives us a personality, a DNA, an outworking in our lives that complement the gift that the Spirit gives us the moment we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
For me, type A personality, outgoing person, have to talk to anybody, everybody that I meet, in the grocery store, and all those kind of things. God takes that, and then with the spiritual gift of teaching, just wanting to share what God's opened my eyes to in the Scriptures is my passion.
Okay. That's a good answer. Kind of like, it should cause us to marvel what He's speaking to, the fact that God, when He weaves us together in our mother's womb, and Scripture clearly teaches that. You're saying it's already thinking of the gifting.
Well, He knows what He's going to give us the moment we're saved.
Yep.
And so He prepares us, as David says in Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Well, what does that mean? All that God wanted to use our lives to do in the spiritual gifting that He would give us when He brings us to Himself.
Yep.
And it's perfect wisdom for God that wants
Amen. Well, that's good stuff, isn't it? Realizing that. And maybe you look at the person next to you and say, wow, you are really special. The way God has worked in your life and equipped you. We're blessed at this church, aren't we? Father, we give you praise. These are wonderful truths to be thinking about. And we know that they can be an area of struggle and problems. They were in the church in Corinth as they grappled with one, different ones thinking, I'm not needed. Others, yeah, we don't need you. But Father, each and every one needed. Wonderfully, strategically placed. So Father, we thank you for each and every one here. Each and every one. And we thank you for how you've knit them together in their mother's womb, and how you've drawn in them into the kingdom, and how you've equipped them to serve. May we live to your glory using the gifts and abilities you've given and see this church become all that you would have it be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget your questionnaire up here, if you would. And there are probably still a few more donuts and some fruit in the other building.